It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Nostra Thomas and Jimmy V Divine.
I caught that today. That's big time.
Jimmy
there.
V Foundation.
I have not heard that thrown out.
Yeah, that's a new one. March Madness going on. We'll get to some of that right now, but I want to thank some of our sponsors real quick. Sherry Gordon Salon. I got beat up on that one yesterday when I got my hair cut. She goes, I'm not a boutique, a salon. I go, okay, salon. But you have all this stuff in here. She goes, and then you made fun of me on the show. So here we go again. I'm doing it again. Perlene Asphalt, Crusader Financial, Timmy May Jr. for all your finance need. And Masters Bar and Grill, I swear. This guy is.
It's like a
Scooby-Doo reminds me of Charlie's Angels
ghost.
Boss.
He's no, he's a ghost.
I can't get. He's 5 feet from the station. I can't get him over here. We have a special guest today. I'm gonna let Jimmy introduce him, and we're gonna pick his brain on some things.
Absolutely.
And have some fun here.
One of the great legends of my time, not everybody's time, but my time. Coach Damon LeRivière, former head coach of Girard High School Indian soccer program that he rebuilt and brought back to some glory. We're going to talk a little bit about his history, our friendship over 40 years. He's much like Tom. We've been like brothers for quite a while. Little different athletic backgrounds, but we've always shared the same interests. One of the funniest human beings you will ever come across in your life. There's Robin Williams and there's this guy. And we're gonna toss it around a little bit about his history growing up as an athlete, coming here, varying into his sports, and just his love of overall competition and his mindset and what he sees with kids, because obviously we're drawn from a different pool than what Tom and I are used to with baseball and softball, and you know, and him and I have some great conversations about kids in society today and parents in society and how one affects the other, and I want to get his viewpoint because it's always fresh and he always comes up with just great ideas. So I want to introduce my dear friend and part-time brother, Coach Damon LeRivière. So,
thank
go
you,
ahead, brother. Yeah, fire
thank
away.
You, thank you. I'm really excited to be here. And we had been talking about this, and finally, you know, got the call, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
We could get all the Musketeers together, but I don't know. There's enough time in a day. Would it be what, five of us?
30 minutes would not be enough time.
No, not even close. Not even
Are
close.
Are you still at Girard?
No. I officially retired 4 years ago. 21 years of coaching, and I hung up my hat. It was time.
A lot of connections to Girard. Steiner's, Jeff Steiner's my brother-in-law, and I know they wrestle. I mean, Wes, I think he was a wrestler with Girard. And a lot of old friends from Girard. Nick Cochran, I guess I could call him a friend.
He was your AD, right, D?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. He liked Damon. That was a good thing. Yeah. Nick Cochran likes you. You're in good shape.
Well, it took a good year or two to build trust and understand, you know, where I was coming from. We butted heads a little bit, but in
no
the right way. To well,
Nick,
I know.
No.
Say
Nick's a so. Headbutter, really?
No. Yeah, but very I think it finally earned his respect. Cochran. Just seeing the direction that it was taking with the program, and it was different from what he had experienced before. And honestly, Nick really didn't know much about soccer.
Exactly.
And so it's
which could be a blessing and a curse.
It you're absolutely right. And just to get guys educated, like here's the direction which I'm leading. I know it's different from what you've had in the past, but you have to trust me in this process, and we will get there. And that's really what it took.
And you did.
Yeah.
Comparatively
yeah.
to what was there before. Nothing against them, but.
No, and every coach, as you know, teaches differently. They have a different philosophy. You know, you take it from the pros to you know, the amateurs, and every coach has, you know, their vision and what they want to
what
achieve.
They think's gonna work.
And what they think is going to work. A little, mainly just a very athletic background.
Every sport known to man except soccer.
Except soccer. Yeah, it's you know, soccer is one of those things that every sport does with their hands. Soccer does with their feet.
And we just said that. We were just talking about that on our way here.
So think about
that. That's what I admire about the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to admire that part of it. And that it really has grown. You know, it wasn't really a big thing in the U.S., and it's really has taken off.
It's definitely grown because it takes a lot of athletes from other sports, and baseball will seem to be one of them. That
right.
A lot of kids
not as much doesn't take as much time in a match.
Baseball. I was like, oh my gosh, we're losing all these kids.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of kids. We talked about this, and it's not a knock on it. I mean, a lot of kids gear towards that because there's not as much. Their egg's not going to get scrambled in a helmet. It doesn't take as much time. Everybody can start with it.
Right.
You know, baseball not everybody can start with process. Baseball or start with contact football or whichever.
Right.
My next one is, D, tell me you and I have talked, but I'd want Tommy to know, I'd want Carl here to know. Your athletic genealogy, because you're not originally from our neck of the woods. You're from a state not that far away, but, you know, some people consider it third world. I don't. But
well, they usually cross the first letter out of it.
Yeah, you know, right, exactly.
Yeah, the team up north.
Michigan. I said, because you've evolved through sports. I mean, we've been friends since we were 18. And, you know, I know your history, but I just think it's interesting how analytical minds can process. I saw it with a guy named Rod Delmonico at Tennessee. He was a soccer guy and became a all-time winning baseball coach, and he barely played baseball.
Really?
But he was a soccer guy, yep.
Wow.
The guy we had at the bubble for the clinics years ago.
That is so
He came from Tennessee. He never played baseball.
And that's something.
And he was a soccer guy and got into baseball. You got a chance teaching and coaching. So he took it up.
Yeah.
And ended up taking Tennessee to the World Series.
You know, for me, it was just being like a well-rounded athlete.
Excuse me.
Like, I remember as a young kid just having like really good balance. And people were always amazed by balance, and I think that's one of those things is because it's a full body control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have balance.
Well, and you've always, but you were always a quick. I mean,
yeah, I always had a quick step.
You were always quick twitch guy.
Yeah, I was
got the bat. You know,
yeah, I surprised a lot of people by my size and you know what I look like, and then you know turn on the afterburners like, who the heck is that guy?
I would sit and say, yeah, you were, you know,
yeah, or even when I played softball, you know, I was the oldest guy on the team and fastest guy, and even the umpires
hit
like,
a two-hopper to the shortstop and we're on.
Yeah.
And you're right-handed.
Yeah,
that was the one thing, like I said, he was the first introduction I'd ever met of somebody that I got to see genetically, somebody that was put together like genetically quick twitch, like the body fat of like 6% 8% waking up out of bed that way. We always used to kid, and I know he thought about it for a little bit, because you talk about guys that were small jointed but had quick twitch and no body fat, bodybuilding. Because he would lift and then like in no time flat. You know, you see a lot of African-American athletes like that where they, you know, they lift and they lift and they lift and they lift. You don't see, you know, in your case, man, you'd go to the gym for a couple weeks and it looked like you should have been in, you know, the Mr. USA. I'd be like, holy crap, dude, what do you know? Oh, I'm just eating right and lifting. And I'd be like, I could go till I'm 105 and take steroids and I wouldn't look like that. And like I said, you did a wide variety of things. You ran track. I know, like I said, when you got back here and kind of, you know, did a little flag football, did a little bit of, you know, serious flag football, did some soccer, I mean, everything. Right. And then
baseball, softball.
I just fell in love with sports. Yeah, you love to compete.
Right. Only thing I couldn't do was play basketball. I was definitely white man can't jump, so.
Oh, you could jump. You just didn't. That's a high repetition early game sport.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're 6'10 and Akeem Olajuwon, you're not going to just walk out there and take to the game.
I was not Spud Webb, so.
There you go. I got you. I think you could grab the rim. I just don't know if you knew how to hold the ball to dunk it.
No. Nope. My hands weren't big enough to do that, so.
What affected you? And Tommy's probably going to come up with some after I ask this one. What led you to the coaching part? Because I remember when we first started doing lessons and I bring you over to teach guys, we had kids that were average or below average and needed to pick up speed. And you were just a natural teacher. And you have a business.
Yeah.
Pro-trained that you teach.
Yeah. And it's a natural thing.
On top of DNR.
Teaching,
right.
Right, right. And just desire for that. And I love athletics. I love sports. So when my kids got involved, I wanted to be involved. And then you could see, you know, these parents that were coaching that really did not understand basic concepts. And that's when you step in.
There's nobody else out there. Yeah,
there's no one else out there. And then they're like, oh, wow, like you understand. I'm like,
you know, you just run around and kick a ball? What's the big deal?
Right.
That's exactly the mindset.
It's organized kickball.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody
right.
Everybody that can't do anything else, play soccer. That was really the mindset.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. And then, but there's so much more to that. And so that's where I grew the love of the game. And then, you know, you gain more experience every year. And then I just really started diving into it. Kind of like you get into a subject, you really dove into something. And then I did the same thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I just dove into it and started like really teaching myself, going to coaching courses. You know, there's a lot smarter guys than me, that's for sure. But learning from those guys, you know, you find a guy that really understands it.
Yeah, I love
learn
it.
From him.
It right.
Yeah,
and
can, you pick and up
take
from
in,
that, just you, like anyone.
Then you've always been great, whether it was business or, you know, starting not one but two businesses from scratch on your own.
Especially leading to something like that, you got to know more than the kids know, and a lot of the
right.
kids, if you don't know and you're BS them, they're not even gonna buy it, what you're doing,
right.
what you're selling.
Yeah,
so being a student of whatever game is the best way to do it.
Yeah,
it,
you run, if you it, run into some kid and his dad played in La Liga for 12 years, yeah, you might have to go ask him, hey, what do you think? But outside of that,
yeah, no,
you're not gonna see that too much.
No, it you, and you're absolutely right, is that the yeah. buy-in is super important.
It is.
If kids are not gonna buy in to what you're putting down, it's over.
I know there are some baseball coaches, and God bless them, they put their time in, and it's not, come on, go get them, choke up on the bat. You know, they didn't really have anything to tell the
kids. But they were good guys.
Struggling, but they're nice guys. And,
right.
You know, go get them. Okay, 0-27. Want to give me a little bit more info on that?
Yeah, I did that when my kids were playing baseball. You know, we had the all-star team, and I was one of the all-star coaches, and I had a kid that was just really struggling with the bat. And I saw immediately at one swing what his issue was, corrected it. And next thing you know, this kid starts hitting line drives, I mean, and hitting him to the outfield deep. And his dad looks at me, he's like, how did you do that? I'm like, well,
I called my buddy Jim and he told me.
No. I referred to Jim a couple times. But you see, you have the ability to see what they're doing. And I think I've always had that, you know, and you straighten it out. Just give them a little advice and see if it works.
Exactly. You know? One of the big things I would sit and say, too, when I was we would sit and watch. This was early 20s, and I had been done playing baseball. Well, I wasn't playing anymore. I maybe told in some softball games once in a while. And we would watch games on TV, and there were two other, Bobby Miller and our buddy Ralph Abraham, and we've been friends for 1,000 years. And I would watch games, and I'd start just randomly – watching guys throw, and I'd start calling the pitches before they throw them, and they'd look at me and go like, and Damon and Bobby both one day, and before any of this came about, they go, why don't you just go do this for a living and get it over with? And they would kid me about it, and I was like, yeah, I know. And then here, lo and behold, after however many years now, you know, you find your niche. And like I said, one of Damon's businesses is basically he's teaching people. The other one is sound. He's good with sound. Anybody ever needs wedding, you know, wedding stuff, you're doing a presentation, you got a fashion show, whatever. DNR Audio, that's the name of the company, and they're amazing.
You.
Started out in the back of a...
How long have you been doing that?
In the back of a Ford.
Long 32 time, years.
32 years.
Man, hold it now. Why don't I remember you when I was doing all the shows and that at Eastwood? Rib Fest and the concerts. Yeah. I had to struggle like heck to get an audio guy. We always had to use the same one. Satin Sound.
Yeah,
it's wow. you were more doing back then. It was solely weddings.
Yeah, it was mainly weddings. Oh, okay. I wasn't doing venues like that. But now, I handle all the sound for Eastwood.
Tommy, we do it again. You know, we get back in the saddle doing shows. You know, here's your creative
for
director
sure.
outside of us, no question.
But you know what's funny is teaching soccer. I'm sure I don't know anything about it. Okay, but here's what's funny. Everyone wants to do what they're good at, okay? And then they, like what Jim does, is try to get people to do things that you're not good at so you can become a bam. But kids, they don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do the crappy stuff in the corner, doing all the stuff. But when I quit playing hardball, I went down and played softball. I made fun of it for years, but okay, now I'm down there. I'm swinging way early. They had put 8 guys in left field. I'm either going to hit a home run or I'm out.
Right.
And didn't really learn. Finally... Oh, I would just hit a bunch of home runs.
I'm
going to
bet you two played against each other.
And I actually worked on the simplest thing of hitting to right field because every pitch looked good to me. I swung at the ball on the other side of me. I just didn't really learn the game. And then I finally hit one to right field because nobody was out there. Yeah. And somebody yelled, hey, finally effing learned the game after all these years. I could not feel right hitting a ball to right field because I spent all my years, my dad telling me to pull the ball. I was ahead of 100-mile-an-hour fastball. I was always taught that. So get listening to Jim do drills and things to get these kids to go the opposite. My career could have been so much better. I mean, I think I can count on one hand how many times I walked, unless it was intentional.
Well, look at how every sport has evolved. When we were kids, you just played. It was just recreational. Now they have club. They have private lessons. We didn't have that stuff when we were kids. And if kids are going to actually make it, that's the step they have to do it.
That's why this area is always so far behind, the southern states, because they played all year long.
Yeah.
We woke up in April, got the glove out, and started playing catch after sitting around doing nothing for 5 months.
Right.
Well, that's why we're so good at football here, because we get pent up for 5-6 months out of here, and they let them out, and everybody starts killing people. But now here's a good one, and this is one that's near and dear to Tommy's heart, my heart, because we've talked about it. Carl's even listened in on it, is in your time coaching, you know, everybody says, you know, I walked through 4 miles of snow to get to school. You know, the legendary stories. What do you see different? Because you've seen generations of kids, and I know I've seen thousands of kids, and Tommy's been around me some in seeing kids. What is different today?
So
because you
things.
Dealt with it. I know you didn't have the easiest time.
No.
Change over there.
So it's a few things. I think the first thing is club and being able to go to, you know, to your business and
see the real world
but having some one-on-one coaching other than, you know, just dad coach like what we had or picking it up, you know, like our dad coach was, we played nonstop.
Right.
And I think as kids it was like we were outside playing baseball all day, every day, wiffle ball.
When's the last time, Tommy, when's the last time you drove somewhere and saw a wiffle ball game?
I was amazed. I even put it on Facebook. I thought I was on a different planet or something. I was seeing kids playing catch out in the road. And they weren't teenagers.
Car!
I can't even
game on!
I just saw something crazy here. A UFO. Kids outside playing.
Like, it's crazy.
Without their phone in their ear.
Right. That. And I think the other thing, Ding, is culture.
Oh.
Building culture. Because.
That. There's that word again, Tom.
You know,
he's never talked about that.
Culture is huge, and you have to build that culture. And if you don't, you're sunk. You can see schools that have the culture in whatever sport they're really good at, and then schools that don't have it.
Here's a good question for you.
And then some of them lose that culture along the way.
You sure can.
You live this with both your kids.
And it's leadership.
This question just popped into my head when you talk about culture. And I'm going to use them as an example because that's my guideline into what I consider elitist soccer here. Why are the SVA girls better than the SVA boys? When you got both, it's the same coaches on both sides.
Yeah.
Is it because the boys' side's a little more watered down and the girls that get to them are much more elite? And I'm not. And listen, there's other organizations. That's just the one I know.
Sure,
and that's the one
I know. And I know it's a great program. It's a great program
because both your kids were involved at one time.
I actually ripped a lot of pages out of SVA's coaches' hands, and
they're not from here. Did you ever see them? The guys at the wellness center that do soccer, Tommy?
No.
One's from what? Cameroon?
No, Tobago.
Yeah. Tobago. Yeah,
that's right.
And the other guys.
They're great guys.
Oh, wonderful coaches. Yeah. And they're opposite. Types of coaches. The one just stares and he's a little more my book, like you mess it up and he just looks at you and he says in kind of broken English, like he just tells you better do this right. And the other guy's a little more patch on the butt and, you know, but I mean, he'll get up you.
Yeah.
But explain that one to me. So there's a great one.
Girls,
it depends. Not one size fits all. Some kids get motivated by a kick in the ass, some don't, and you got to figure that out. That's what coaching and leadership is.
100%.
I'm the kick in the ass
motivates
guy.
Yeah. And I really, actually, what's really funny about that, Tommy, is I was in the Army Reserves, and going through primary leadership development courses, they teach you that. You know, I think some of the best leadership courses on the earth is through the military. And they taught you that. Like, you can't treat everybody exactly the same. You have to lead them to their ability. You can't overcoach somebody that overlead somebody that doesn't need to be overled. Some people, you need to hold them by the hand. You need to show them, this is what you do, step one,
like
step
a pointer.
Two, step three. Yeah.
It's like a pointer puppy. Dip, bing, gone. Oh, I got it.
Like, I remember I was leading this group of people on collection calls of bank people, and I would make a joke to this one to get her motivated, but I would yell at the other guy, come on, you're not getting on the phone. And some, hey, you know what's wrong? Your chair's not facing your workstation, as a little joke. But you got to figure out what is going to get those people to get to the goal line.
Right.
That's the job. No matter how you get there, you got to get there.
I think as a coach, you have to evaluate each player and decide which one of your leaders, because you got kids who are leaders, right? You've got players that are just going to go out and play that don't want to be leaders. You have kids that are the followers, right? And those players can actually develop through the years. You'll see the younger ones maybe, you know, your freshmen as the followers, because you've got a bunch of seniors who tend to be the leaders, right? Or those upperclassmen. So you have to figure out who's who. And there's a pecking order. You know, there always is. It's just like anything else. You got to have your leaders. You got to have your doers
and
your
followers. You got to have some Indians.
Yeah,
you can't have all chiefs.
Absolutely do.
Never works.
And then you got to lean on the guys who are your leaders. And, you know, because sometimes it takes those guys to kick the other players in the butt when things aren't going well, you know, and do it the right way. And so coaching, too, is like teaching them how to do that, but have restraint on that, too, because they can go too far, as we know.
Yeah, well, go too far? None of us here. No.
No.
But if you
maybe Carl.
Your whole team is the culture of, we're not going to put up with you being lazy. You know, if the other players aren't going to put up with you, the coach doesn't have to sit there and keep banging their heads.
That's right.
Will take care of himself, like the Marines.
This is one of my greatest joys in life right now, Carl. I have to tell you this, because I'm listening to Tom Sharp, my friend of 40 years, sit with my. This is like, you know, this is like Joseph Stalin and Buddha. Okay, because Tom Sharp on the essence of teamwork, he's sitting here talking about the right.
You're right.
And this one is Joe teamwork. And to listen to my two dearest friends listen to this concept, and Tommy's like endorsing it, going, it's I hate blowing. Half the guys in this dugout. Why am I going to talk to you?
Get them next time. Shut up.
You know, that was.
So that's why I'm learning. I'm finally learning.
He's filling his voids in the interpersonal communication of sports.
I'm going to pass it on to somebody else.
Better late than never, right?
At least trying to get there.
That's right.
Trying to finish the race strong.
I have started out slow. I have made strides in world organizational concepts with non-teammate people and Mr. Teammate. This is big for me. I'm going to be honest for a couple days. My brain. I almost fell out of my chair.
How interested I am. I'm like,
yeah, but no, it's good because it's foreign to him. But to listen to that, and that's what happened, is you got, you know, piece of a point you would never figure.
Yeah.
But that's what I was like.
Game. There's nobody else on the team.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, and that's the dang truth. When they hear it, they'll believe me. They know.
How many people have you ever seen at a baseball game throw their equipment up a hill, not down a hill, up a hill, all the way up to their car?
Yeah.
Didn't carry the bag, didn't carry the bat, didn't carry the glove. Threw the glove up the hill, over cars on the road.
Yeah. Threw it right over.
Then threw his bag.
You know, if he was a golfer, he'd be the one throwing the golf clubs.
You never hear him talking about golf bag
in the lake.
He almost filed for bankruptcy because of golfing.
Listen.
Oh, geez.
He goes through a bag around. This is a true story. I had a 23 going. I had two holes left. Right in front of the water, a Northwoods in Champion. Uh-huh. Hit the next one into the water. The next thing, the club went in the water. Then the bag, I picked up the bag and threw it in the water. Then I threw my watch in the water.
Then he threw his brother. What he does until you threw his brother in the water after that.
Where's he going?
Geez.
And he goes, I saw people throw clubs. I've never seen anybody throw a watch before.
He threw his brother next.
It was on my hand. And they actually dig everything out of there and brought it home over to my house.
Do we need to get you like anger management help or something?
I think it's a little late for me at this point. But that's why I'm doing these things here. I'm getting like self-help during the show.
Hey, if you hear us start doing Buddhist chants during the middle of the show, me and Damon are here, that's just to calm. We're gonna get some incense.
How about this? Always got this one. We're going.
Tommy, don't lose your temper.
It's better than work. Does it look like I'm having fun out here? I'd rather be at work. Does this look fun to you? I'm paying money.
That made my month right there. I can't even talk about it enough.
Hey, go ahead, Cole, we got a question. You got time for it?
Yeah, we got to get that done because we've missed it for like 3 weeks. Yeah. What he does, D, so you understand. Carl tries to stump me on a baseball thing.
Good luck with that.
He got me.
He got you.
He got
me. I actually got him. I couldn't believe it.
I almost fell out of the chair. I almost broke the TV. It was terrible.
Some of these newfangled rules.
I've never heard you get stumped on baseball.
Yeah, if you go back about four shows ago, you got me.
We were having a lot of
baseball and softball, you got me.
Go ahead,
Kevin. All right, so does anybody know the most attended baseball game in history? What was the most attended baseball game in history?
Oh, you're playing dirty. Modern day or?
This was recently. Well, not exactly recently, but it was.
We know it's not the Cleveland Guardians.
It's got to be a WBC game. It's got to be a WBC game.
It's an exhibition game.
WBC game. Japan? Is it a World Baseball Classic? No, wait a minute.
No, it's not.
No.
In Europe?
Nope.
England?
Nope.
Wow.
It was here in the U.S.
But it's an exhibition game?
Yes.
Not the one at Field of Dreams?
Ooh, nope.
I'm going through the memory bank.
Yeah.
The original... Wait a minute.
I think I finally got you again.
Twice. Hold on.
Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
Nope.
I'm just how modern day? Big... Can I get that?
I thought.
Can I get a hint here, Shazam?
Within the last 20 years.
That's kind of recent.
Uh-huh.
Which were football stadiums that carried more?
That's why I said Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
RFK when it was the Nationals.
Well, I'd go out to Coliseum because that was 100,000.
I got to go RFK Stadium.
Wait a minute. Which Coliseum?
Oakland?
No.
LA? Okay. You guys, you're getting close now.
LA last 20 years.
Yeah. You're bringing in the pitch hitter here.
Hold on. Exhibition game.
Yep.
It wasn't for something. It wasn't an Olympic game.
Yeah, no. No, this was an exhibition game.
Is it MLB?
Hold on.
Okay.
Cuba in the U.S.?
Nope.
Mexico in the U.S.
Nope.
Who in the heck was
it? Is it two American teams?
No. Yes, it's two American teams. Two MLB teams.
In California.
Yep. In California.
Dodgers, Giants. Yep.
No. Dodgers. Kinda. The first interleague, Dodgers, Yankees.
Nope. Close.
Ooh. I'm honing in.
Close. You're getting there.
Got to be Dodgers.
Okay, yep. That's one of the teams. East Coast, not the Yankees, but close.
Red Sox.
Yep. So it was an exhibition game between the Los Angeles Dodgers and Boston Red Sox on March 29th, 2008 at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum with an official attendance of 115,300 people. This remains the only baseball game to exceed 100,000 spectators.
Because it used to be opening day Yankees-Indians. At 82,000. Remember that when you were kids? When they had Cleveland Stadium, the old football.
Right.
It was 82,000. That's got to be set because every opening day. Yeah. That was the only time the Indians would ever sell out.
2 minutes.
Opening day.
Yep.
6 minutes, Dougie Fresh.
Yeah, well, that closer. Took about 10 minutes from the show. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, all of a sudden, our show's cut out. It's all Carl's show. It's the Carl Bloom show.
I have no use for you two.
And a couple
get
other guys
show.
Were in there somewhere in the studio.
No, I'm just teasing guys.
Hey, the secret is Tommy and I were running a little late today, and him and Damon taped a whole show before we even got here.
Yeah.
It's called Why Was Jimmy Late?
Yeah.
Why were Jimmy and Tom late? We had tire issues.
Yeah, good something time. About soccer guy. Anyways, back to what I was saying as Carl Bloom, the station owner.
That's what I'd be doing if I was the owner of the station.
Come on now. My head isn't as big as yours, Tom.
I'd be doing that. Okay, what were you saying
you
again?
Want his hair, though. You want Tommy's hair, Carl.
Now, that's some slick
wait
hair.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you didn't see. Look, give him the side.
I don't have any.
See, look. Hey, it's aerodynamic.
That's awesome.
Sherry Gordon. Out of love for what we've done for, gave Tom the quality A haircut.
She'll give me one of those Charlie Brown Christmas tree where it was all just hanging branches and then boom, it's a beautiful tree.
So hey, $5 real quick,
sports cuts.
Here we go. Now see, we could have done another half hour and probably got thrown off the air. But anyways, we got about a minute and some left. First of all, I want to thank my dear friend, Mr. Damon Lurie, owner of DNR Audio and Pro Train.
Thank you.
I love his insights. We're gonna have him again. We'll probably end up talking about the Browns and accosting him about it. Who knows? But you know, things like that. I'm obviously Tommy. Tommy being Tommy, always a joy. I've got to go through our reality show. Now we got to go through the backside list of sponsors, the back part of the show. Gatta Trucking and Vanessa Construction, the Gatta family, Levy Steel, the Levy family, Franklin Healthcare, Mr. Lee Manios and his family, great sponsors of the show. Pete Roberto, Digger Gray, the Chico Wolbert Memorial, always looking out for them, one of the great points of my career. Montrose Auto Group, big sponsors. John Thompson, Mike Thompson, Vinny the Bulldog, can't beat them, great friends. The Den, Jesse DiGiacomo.
Yep.
I'm going to give you our friends at 422 and where else?
Candlewood Wine.
There you go,
sellers.
I never remember it. DNR, obviously, and ProTrain. If you're looking for anything with sound, got a party, want the best in lighting, want the best in atmosphere.
Weddings.
For your receptions.
And he's the guy to call. If you want to get out on the field and rare form, get a hold of Diamond 9.
That's our next one. Yep, last down the line, the Sudis family, Rawlings and Easton, Kearns family, and our Diamond 9 announcements. We have lesson openings. Give us a call. Also, if you have teams with signups, you want to get your group better, faster, introduce them. Young kids, we do that this time of year. It's one of our big pushes is to get Little League groups, Pony League groups, whoever needs, let us know. Also, facility rental, video analysis, anything you need, you give us a call. We'll take care of you. Carl, always a joy.
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah,
Thomas,
thanks, guys. Good show.
And my good friend, Mr. LaRivière. Yep. Thank you all, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.